Hello, it's Bernie here. Evidently, Bill and Randy want me to tell you people that you shouldn't listen to the show at work or in front of kids because they're swearing. Swearing in the show. There's a few fucks, a few shits, and some words I can't even pronounce. And I'm almost sure that they are drunk, but they're still not part of the 2%. What are they going to play now? Loud music? Jesus, I don't need this crap.
Hello, Randy.
Young William, you look terrific. You look terrific.
So do you. So do you, man.
Yeah. We're kicking the can down the street.
That's what we are. That's all we're doing.
We got Jim Beam blowing through, Jack Daniels flowing through our veins.
Yes, we do. No, I actually don't. I'm just drinking coffee tonight. Just drinking coffee.
Yeah, I got my coffee.
Yeah, a little coffee. I'm kind of happy.
Yeah, Jack lives here occasionally.
Lives there occasionally. Okay. Jack Daniels, Johnny Walker, gang's all here. Anyway, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in tonight.
Yes, thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, because, we had nothing to do. We thought we'd stop by and talk about the state of the world, kind of thing we do occasionally. So this week, we've been watching the stateside stuff. Boy, I tell you, man, Trump got a fine. Did you see that?
That's going to be the straw that broke the...
Orange
rat's back, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah.
God,
How can he afford it?
I know. He was held in contempt 9 times, ladies and gentlemen, 9 times. And he was just crippled with $1,000 fine for each time. That's $9,000, Randy. He won't be able to buy a mid-sized used economy car. Boy, that's going to be awful for him.
That's for the breaking the gag order. That's the gag order.
Yeah, $9,000. Oh my God, that's killing him. You're killing him. I can't believe this injustice. There goes the tip I was going to leave for lunch. Fucking hell. Why can't we just put this fucker in jail, right? Can't we just look like for a day? Just for a day, put him in jail. Just to see the expression on his loathsome little face when you go, I'm sorry, you're not going to go home tonight. That's it.
We're going to put you in Rikers, and we're going to have Don Jr. and Eric for Bring Your Kids to Work Day.
Yeah.
They're going to stay with you. You're going to stay with you and Bubba. You and Bubba and Tyrone are going to all stay together in a little family unit we have just for you.
Your kids look fine there, Donnie.
We have Crisco on tap.
Oh, please. You had to go there. You just had to. You really did.
That's vintage.
That's
Crisco vintage.
Randy. Thank you. That's old gay. Got me in the old robe. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, before Brandy gets any further into the Crisco,
I'm gonna die.
Why is it every time I mention that Trump goes to prison that we both get absolutely hysterically funny at the thought of him being sodomized? Why is that? Does that mean we're a little gay? I don't know what that means.
Oh, geez. Anyway, who would want to share a cell with him? Because he just farts so much.
Well, I don't know why anybody would want to have any sexual dealings with him at all. Because every girl that I've ever talked to has really had one word review for his sex appeal. And here it is. Ew.
Ew. I don't like mushrooms.
It's like, it's not so much, it's even beyond revulsion. It's like the way my dear wife who passed away, she used to feel the same way about seafood. It's like, ew. The thought of running
Queensland a Queensland girl from Rocky didn't like seafood.
I don't know what her problem was.
That's weird.
I don't know. She's crazy. God, I miss her every day. Anyway, listen, guys. I got an idea. Why don't we start off with the news, ladies and gentlemen? A lot of things have been happening in the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Bill Show News. Dun, dun, dun,
yay!
Thank you very much. Thank you, Fix It in Post Orchestra. Oh, golly, there's a lot to talk about, Randy.
There's a lot to talk about, and this are going to talk about it.
We're
going to
talk about it. You have no choice but to listen. Look, student protest. This is the big story today. Student protests over the Israel-Hamas war have popped up at many. That's what they said in this news story. It popped up at many college campuses after being inspired by demonstrations at Columbia University. The students are calling for universities to separate themselves from companies advancing Israel's military efforts in Gaza, and in some case, from Israel itself. Now, police have arrested hundreds nationwide since detainments at Columbia on April 18th. And I thought to myself, like, it is ironic. Blown off the front page of the news is the attempt of the radical Supreme Court to install Donald Trump as president. A president who most likely would make illegal the right to protest. Yet, yeah. Evidently, the reality of losing the right to protest in the United States is not as important as protesting the financial support for one of the few countries in the Middle East that still allows, well, you know, protests. In fact, as we speak, Israeli and Jewish protesters are protesting on the streets of Israel against their government's own policies.
Yeah.
So before you start calling America a dictatorship, you know, I saw this poster, Statue of Liberty is suckling the blood of Palestinian children into the mouths of Israelis. You should consider how bloody quick you would be thrown in jail if you tried to arrange a peaceful protest in, I don't know, Syria, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Iran,
Lebanon,
any one of those Middle Eastern countries, you know, those places, including Gaza, where the right to protest comes with no extra charge, the right to be thrown in jail and tortured, which is a real plus. But here's the thing I wanted to say. After saying all that, Randy?
Yeah?
We should not forget that the kids are right. This has torn me. It really has. And I view it this way. I was talking about it with my son the other day. They're young people. They're idealistic. For the last month, they have been offered a 4K high-definition view of Benjamin Netanyahu butchering 15,000 men, women, and children. And you know something? They have a problem with that. Now, Bill Maher, formerly the lefty and now the cranky old man of the left wing, whined on his show this week about the protests. It went something like this, Randy.
From now on, before anyone commits an act of civil disobedience, they should ask themselves a few questions, like, is the most important thing in my life something I hadn't heard of 6 months ago? Do I even know what the f- I'm talking about? Am I really here for the cause, or is the cause here to bring you me? Why do I care so much about this particular cause? North Korea starves its people. China puts them in concentration camps. Myanmar brutalizes the Rohingya. Boko Haram kidnaps whole villages of women. Nothing? Ukraine?
Oh, how intolerant we have become since we were burning our draft cards in the past, Bill. Oh, and by the way, Bill, the difference between protesting Myanmar and the regimes of other awful human rights abuses is simply this. Their tax money isn't paying for the mass murder. The misses killing mom, dad, and baby in Gaza aren't made in Texas, are made in Texas and have written made in the USA on them. They are forcing us to deal with this. But another thing is also true. I honestly think that if Joe Biden could use aid to Israel to force a stop to the violence, he could. Maybe the simple fact is that if the USA stopped funding the Israel military tomorrow, it wouldn't change a thing. Israel isn't like the Ukraine. They aren't waiting for repair parts and ammunition for the next battle. America has been showering Israel with aid for years. They have so much American military aid that they can afford socialized medicine. And you don't even get that in New Jersey. Also, if he cut off aid to Israel, Israel would most likely cut off their cooperation with the United States by sharing intelligence about Iran and other Mideast states that would give their left nut to execute violence against American troops or civilians overseas, not to mention the odd 9/11 on American soil. So what do? Exactly what we are doing. You allow the kids to demonstrate. Yet restricting their damage to the schools so their well-to-do parents won't have to pay for it. I don't know. However, what about the right to demonstrate? And this is something that our old friend Dick Van Dyke, a comedian, he was about 94 years old, said, and he piped up with a good question yesterday, and I'd like to play it for you, Randy. Here's my good friend Dick Van Dyke.
I'm Dick Van Dyke. You may remember me. I used to fall down a lot on purpose. I don't speak up a lot, but there's something on my mind that I wanted to talk about. You know, our Supreme Court has delayed any decision about a president's immunity, and at the same time, they have stalled everything so that Donald Trump's path back to the White House is pretty clear now. And when that happened, both of the cable network stations printed headlines, corrupt. Our Supreme Court is corrupt. And then nothing, silence. Not another word has been spoken about it by anybody. They dropped the subject as if they'd been squelched. At the same time, for some reason, our college students, out of the blue, became very concerned about what's happening in the Middle East. I'm beginning to feel a little manipulated somehow. Think about it, will you? Thanks.
And that's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're playing the Dick Van Dyke Show theme because you're damn right, Dick.
You are right, Dick.
Dick's
look over
done.
There. Look over there.
Look over there. Look the over there. Look over there.
Art of distraction.
It is absolutely the art of distraction. The demonstrations over Gaza have buried the lead here. Because we have only a limited effect, because we can only have a limited effect on what happens in Gaza. And make no mistake, we should be pushing Hamas to hand over their hostages and pushing Israel to remove Netanyahu in charge. But the Supreme Court is going about trying to remove your right to protest forever. In fact, the United States Supreme Court is working to install an authoritarian dictatorship led by a psychotic madman as president of the United States. Where are the demonstrations about that? And just for laughs, what do you think President Trump would do to the Palestinians? Would he be pressuring Israel for a two-state solution? No, he'd watch the butchering in Gaza, buy some Raisinets and popcorn, and get his son dead. He wouldn't do a damn thing. And if you tried any of this, and if you look, you're not going to get any of this freedom of speech shit because he'd nationalize the local police. In fact, he has an interview now in Time magazine of like what he'd do if he was elected. And he was asked. He was wanting to militarize the local police and call in the military and start a party that would make Kent State look like a fucking tea party if you even pulled some of this shit. I am sick of listening to students at Ivy League universities not get the fact that genocide Joe Biden is the only thing standing between you and actually living in a dictatorship that you've been whining about. Not just protesting one that you read about on Instagram. And don't forget, this distraction is the same kind of militant stuff that Hubert Humphrey had to deal with when he was running against Nixon. Nixon used the unrest to mount a law and order candidacy that captured the American middle class at election time and left us with the reason that all this shit started happening, Richard fucking Milhouse Nixon. makes no mistake, Hamas, Israel, Trump, they are all manipulating our kids for their own ends, and they don't give a shit about the kids in Gaza. And that's what I had to say. Randy, comments?
You're absolutely right. It's the art of distraction. The Hamas human wall of women and children, they're doing it just for the press.
Just for the
press. Let's kill 15,000 people just for the press.
And Hamas knew exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah.
They knew this was going to happen. And I'm not saying that Israel should get a pass for this, but listen, man, calling Joe Biden Genocide Joe.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
For selling them. Yeah, no, honestly. The Israel lobby is very, very, it's probably stronger than guns and, Second Amendment and all of that sort of stuff. The Israel lobby is very, very strong in America and always has been.
It is.
Since 1948.
But even before. But listen, I'm one of those people who have a very conspiratorial mind when shit flies off a front page as quick. And Dick Van Dyke's absolutely right. You should be sitting there going, what went on?
Where did that go? Where did that go?
Losing democracy thing just flew off the front page like in a flash. And suddenly every single network's, And by the way, can I just say something when we're talking about the protests? Just rhetorically between you and me, and we watch the news, how many people have died in these protests?
What, you mean like Kent State died?
Yeah,
like
how many people have died?
I don't know. Did the guy die? Yeah, I don't know.
No one has been died. We've had some injuries when the police went in. We had injuries. More people died at the Capitol than happened in all the left-wing protests that you have here. There's no comparison, okay? All the lefty protests, they're annoying. They're kids. They are certainly being manipulated. I wouldn't be very, very surprised if you found that a lot of the money going in from Palestinian groups and extreme factions are going toward that. But I also can see that Israel will certainly be manipulating the situation one way or another. It's just born for manipulation, and it's a wild card we don't need right now this close before an election.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's sad that all of this gets turned into redirections for the protests and the deaths. This was Israel's 9/11. They got caught and cold cocked by the 1,200 people and 249 hostages in one morning.
But the reason that happened is because they had George W. Bush Netanyahu in charge, who was warned about this shit time and time again, and actually financed Hamas as an extremist group so he wouldn't have to deal with anybody in Gaza. He set this up, man. They are
the elected government. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the right-wing elected government in Israel are a bunch of absolute nutbags. They are nutbags of the first order. They're almost as bad as our nutbags. And was it Blue Gal said the other day? He said, "You know what you can do to help Israel? You know what you can do to help the Middle East and world peace? Not elect Netanyahu here." And that's what Trump is. Trump is Netanyahu. It's a very, very similar situation. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, that was exciting. Hey, Randy?
What?
And then I thought maybe I should get another news story, maybe something to lighten things up.
Yeah, let's lighten it up. Lighten it up.
Nah, I can't.
I'll go on.
Because I'm going to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no! This was the number one story we had before everything went crazy at the college campuses. But look, Trump is vying for total immunity at the Supreme Court. Look, no president in 250 years of the Republic has asked for a get-out-of-jail-free card for committing felonies in the White House. But then there was Trump, and Trump knows something that we all suspected. The Supreme Court has been rigged and fixed because Dick Van Dyke knows what he's talking about. Fixed! You sell nuclear secrets to the adversaries? No problem. You try and overthrow the U.S. government? Swell. Maybe you just wake up one day and you decide to shoot Joe Biden dead. This was actually This was the, you know, Dick Van Dyke was sitting there saying that because basically this was screaming off the headlines, and then suddenly it was gone, right? You know, you could just take your political adversary, call up SEAL Team 6 on the phone, you know, like you're ordering a pizza or getting an Uber or something, and, well, let's listen to Sonia Sotomayor when she asked the million-dollar question of the Trump lawyer who's in there arguing for Trump to have immunity. Does this mean the president has a license to kill? Sonia, you want to take this up for me?
If the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person and he orders the military or orders someone to assassinate him, is that within his official acts that for which he's can get immunity?
It would depend on the hypothetical, but we can see that could well be an official act.
It could.
Yeah, that was Sonia Sotomayor and our Bobby Kennedy Jr. sound-alike lawyer for Trump. maybe the lies.
That is really scary. That is really scary to hear people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he can have bribery. He can forge documents. He can kill someone. No problem. Jesus fucking Christ. Of course he has the license of kill. Of course, this isn't about whether Donnie should be given full immunity. It's about whether his trial for attempted treason can be delayed long enough for the Cheeto Mussolini to con the chronically brain-dead and distractible population of the U.S. Oh, look over there, demonstrations to vote for him. At least the brain-dead people in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. We are in a dark and scary place, folks, and there are rats in the corners. And what's happening right now in the Supreme Court really should be our number one priority right now. And the more we are focused overseas, and don't think, I absolutely think that, look, Hamas had two or three meetings with Putin before they decided to pull the pin on this entire operation. The timing of this whole thing was in Hamas's lap. They timed it. Yeah. And I am quite sure that the American elections would be absolutely a part of this. Don't forget, everybody else who hates the United States outside of the United States wants Donald Trump to be president. Iran wants Donald Trump to be president. Netanyahu wants Donald Trump to be president. China wants Trump to be president. North Korea wants Trump to be president. Anybody who doesn't want a strong America in that region will be wanting him to be president. And Netanyahu knows that he and actually Trump are pretty much the same. So anyway, that's my thing, is that when I listened to that Sonia Sotomayor comment, it just blew my socks off. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. And it now, because it's so technocratic, you know, and itsy, it's losing out to that really great visual of watching, you know, students throw shit at police, you know. And I swear to God, the American people have the memory retention of a small child crossed with a puppy. They just don't crossed with a small child on methamphetamines and, I don't know, beta blockers who's ADD and can't focus. So I guarantee you this whole Supreme Court thing, that's going away. That is definitely going away. So I'm glad to shock you. Did I shock you?
You did. I'm shocked.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
I'm shocked.
You shocked? All right. But listen, I'm just going to go straight to something a little bit lighter. You know what I mean?
No, please, but, well, anything can be lighter.
Anything will be lighter than this. I'm really
sad. The baseline is really low.
I know. This is not a comedy show so far today. In fact, where are the jokes, Randy?
I've got a few, if you'd like them.
Yeah, give us a few jokes, Randy. I need a few jokes there.
Oh, you want? Okay, you want me to do some? I've got some little. Little American news items here from American News. You ready?
Okay.
Kellogg's has reported a huge consumer writing effort to have them produce a special Trump edition of Fruit Loops with just the orange ones.
Ah.
a Pennsylvania man.
Yes.
Credits an alligator named Wally.
Wally.
For helping relieve his depression for nearly a decade.
How do you do that, Randy?
And says he's searching for the reptile after it went missing during a vacation in Georgia.
Oh.
Now, Airbnb in America says you must accept animals that the owners insist are emotional support without question.
Without question.
Including cats, dogs, and even small toy horses.
Would this include Wally?
Wally is an emotional support alligator.
He's emotional support alligator.
Would have been accepted into a thing. Now, cicadas are so noisy in South Carolina.
How noisy are they?
Residents are calling the police.
Ah, right.
They said, what on earth is that loud noise?
What are they expecting?
Why are there sirens or roaring in our suburb?
Why? Well, how do they think that the police can stop these cicadas? What are they going to do? Put them in prison? I mean, what?
Well, if I was buried underground for 7 years and I came out, I'd make a noise too.
Yeah, there you go. A Canadian
family received the wrong body.
Yeah.
After their father died on vacation in Cuba.
Oh, that'll.
The family in Quebec is searching for answers after discovering their father's remains didn't make it to Canada from Cuba.
Yeah.
Where he died while on vacation. Instead, they received the remains of another man.
Well, that's not funny. That's just sad.
It's just sad. Okay, that's gray sad. Wolf.
That's not funny, Randy. Why would you laugh
I
at that?
I thought it was funny. Anyway.
Yeah, because you're a sick fuck. You're just the sick fuck.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's one. Okay, I have one.
No,
here.
One more.
You're on my time.
Gray wolves. It's your show, but I've got one more story.
All right.
Gray wolves have not been seen in South Michigan since the 1900s.
Why is that, Randy?
This winter, a local hunter shot one.
Okay.
That's the research.
Are you telling me you held me up for that? That?
Yeah, well, the thing is they haven't been seen there, but now the only one they've got is dead.
Oh, listen, on the theme of killing the dog, ladies and gentlemen, this is, you know where I'm going. Thanks for the segue, pal.
I want the orange Fruit Loops.
Let's talk a little bit about dogs,
Bill,
Randy.
Bill, I made that first one up. I know you did.
I'm sure you did. He's a writer, too. Did you know that? Randy was a copywriter. A lot of that ad stuff that you've been listening to, Randy wrote.
Oh, yeah.
Blame him. Okay, listen. Ladies and gentlemen, relating to Republicans and dogs, this is I'll end on this. You know, in 2012, as the Republican presidential nominee, Mitt Romney was pilloried. He was pilloried for doing something very bad, for tying a dog, his dog named Seamus, to the roof of the family car on a cross-country trip.
In a cage.
Yeah, in a cage. That's all right then, isn't it?
It's like flying in an airplane.
Yeah, but it's open air. The dog would be freaking out, man.
Apparently, it had diarrhea.
What?
Apparently, the dog.
But were
had
you
diarrhea.
In the car behind it? What? How do you know?
Yeah,
this?
Yeah, the convertible behind him was really irate. Oh dear.
God. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, but in 2024, Christy Noem. Yeah, you know her. You love her. You can't live without her. She's a strong contender to be named running mate to Donald Trump. The presumptive Republican nominee and asswipe has managed to go one further. She wrote her in an autobiography. She admitted killing a dog of her own. Not strapping it to a roof. Not injuring it. Yes, sirree, Bob.
She shot it.
And it did. Like other aspirants to be Trump's second vice president who have ventured into print, Noem offers readers a mixture of autobiography, policy prescriptions, and political invective aimed at Democrats and other enemies, all of it raw materials for speeches on her campaign stump. She includes her story about ill-fated cricket.
Chirp, chirp.
He says
chirp,
to chirp. Illustrate her willingness in politics, as we say in South Dakota life, to do anything difficult, messy, or ugly. So if you need someone killed, she's there. What does she do? If it simply needs to be done. By taking cricket on a pheasant hunt with other older dogs, Noma said she hoped to calm the young dog down and begin to teach her how to behave. Unfortunately, Cricket ruined the hunt. Bad Cricket. Going out of her mind with excitement, chasing all those birds and having the time of her life. Christy, come here for a minute. Line three here, Christy. You're a fucking idiot. He's a dog. That's in their DNA. What? You were going to... That's what they do. They're chasing birds and having the time of their life. Well, that wasn't good for Christy Nome, because being a true Republican, she sensed love and happiness. And that must be killed immediately. So Nome described calling Cricket and then using an electric collar. I bet you did, you fucking cunt. I bet you used to sit back and use that electric collar a lot. Didn't you, you bitch?
A shock collar, yeah.
Yeah, a shock collar. An attempt to bring the dog, the young puppy, under control. Nothing worked. Then on the way home after the hunt, as Nome stopped to talk to a local family, Cricket escaped Nome's truck and attacked the family chickens, grabbing one chicken at a time, crushing it to death with one bite, and then dropping it to attack another. Christy, you took the dog on a hunt to kill birds. That's all that registered in its dog mind. It didn't sit there and go, well, that's pheasant and that's chicken. No, it didn't, because it's a dog, Christy, and you're a fuck-knuckle sadistic cunt. Cricket, the untrainable dog, Nome writes, behaved like a trained assassin. She's projecting. When Nome finally grabbed Cricket, she says, the dog whipped around to bite me. I would have slapped you silly. Then as the chicken's owner wept, Nome repeatedly apologized, wrote the shocked family a check for the price they asked, and helped them dispose of the carcasses littering the scene of the crime. Through it all, Nome said Cricket was the pure picture of joy because he thought he did what you wanted him to do. I hate that dog, Nome writes, adding that Cricket had proved herself untrainable, dangerous to anyone she came in contact with, and less than worthless as a hunting dog. At that moment, I realized I had to, in a good Republican way, put her down. Nome also, who also represented her state in Congress for 8 years, got her gun, led Cricket to a gravel pit. It's not a pleasant job, she writes, but it has to be done. That's what Himmler said. Yeah. I understand. That's what he said. Yeah. Come on, it's into okay.
Into the oven. Yeah.
The ovens, yeah.
Into the showers. Yeah.
Hey, Christy, if this was 1939 and we were in Germany, you'd be handing out towels. Come on. Yeah, know that.
Yeah.
It was a pleasant.
Don't pick up the soap, Christy.
That's right, your Christy. Friend.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Incredibly, Nome's tale of slaughter is not finished. Her family, she wrote, also owned a male goat that was nasty and mean. Oh, dear. Because it had not been castrated. Well, I bet you're good at that. Furthermore, the goat smelled disgusting, musky, and rancid. It's a goat. It lives in a barn, you stupid. What do you want from your pets?
Oh, they make them smart in South Dakota.
Oh, God. And evidently the goat loved to chase Nome's children, knocking them down and ruining their clothes. Now, they'd like to chase you, but Nome decided to kill the unnamed joke the same way she killed the dog. But though she dragged them to the gravel pit, the goat jumped as she shot and therefore survived the wound. Nome says she went back to her truck, retrieved another shell, then hurried back to the gravel pit to put him down. At that point, Nome writes, she realized the construction crew had watched her kill both animals. And startled workers swiftly got back to work, she writes, only for a school bus to arrive and drop off Nome's children.
Just as she pulled the trigger.
Her kid came around and went, hey, where's Cricket?
Yeah, where's the goat?
On Friday, reaction to the Nome's description of killing her dog and goat included satire. The Barack Obama advisor turned podcaster Tommy Vitor calling the governor Jeffrey Dahmer with veneers.
Oh, no.
A reference to the famous serial killer and recent scandal over Noam's cosmetic dentistry treatment. But most responses, particularly from dog lovers and people who hunt with dogs, are simply disgust. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to pronounce you. Yes, you. Yes, you. I have had a dog since I lost my wife. That dog has saved my life. I think we don't deserve dogs. I think dogs are better people than people are.
And I agree.
I fucking do. You, however, are a disgusting, fucking oily piece of shit. And you're exactly why I hate your party and the people in your party. Because that's you all over. You're just mean. You're just mean. You just can't help yourself. You know? And to just sit there and have something like that and want to write about it and expect to get applauded by. But I've seen your fans, and I understand. Because they're as fucking depraved as you are. Oh, God. It got me so angry.
At least you could eat the goat. You could have made a curry. You know? Yeah, you could have made a nice goat curry.
I like to make her a curry. I'll tell you, man. I like to fart in her presence. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I think here at the Bill Show, this is the second time one we're going to do in 2 weeks. Christy Noam, you are our ever-loving asshat of the week, or as my good friend Keith Olbermann would say, worst person in the world.
Keith Olbermann. Oh, wow. Faint praise.
Keith isn't here, but I believe it. And that's all I have for you today.
Oh, Willie, that's tremendous. The poor goat.
Poor goat, man. That was shocking. Well, listen, Randy's brought in some stuff for the break, and then we're going to be back, and Randy's going to take us home with Randy's Rant. We'll be back.
Randy's Rant. Okay.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Might be picking for his vice president. Now, currently, the hot new name is North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, seen here being less interesting than a wooden post. Burgum is a rising star in Republican politics. You know his slogan, vote Dave or Doug. Is it Doug? Burgum is the most exciting potential running mate since 2016 when Hillary Clinton picked... no idea. Even though Burgum mania isn't yet sweeping in the country, in recent weeks, sources say Trump frequently has brought up Burgum's name. Hey, sources, I hate to burst your bubble, but he wasn't saying Burgum. He was saying Burger Yum. So... So who is Dougie B? He is a staunchly conservative businessman worth at least $100 million who may be the best known for qualifying for the 2024 Republican primary debates by offering $20 gift cards to anyone who would donate at least $1 to him. Spend $20, make $1 is also the official sales pitch of DraftKings. DraftKings, your kid never rode that bike anyway. Light butt play. Burgum's in the Veep stakes because recently one of the previous candidates, let's say, took themselves out of the running. I'm talking about South Dakota Governor Christy Noam, seen here about to rap about plumbing. Earlier this week, Noam willingly revealed that she, how do I put this delicately, murdered a puppy in cold blood. Some in Trump's orbit have tried to defend Noam, such as Don Jr. fiance and Big Mouth Billy Bass that only says slurs. Kimberly Guilfoyle. Yesterday, Guilfoyle spun her own conspiracy theory about what really happened here.
Why the hell would Christy Noam put that thing about shooting her dog, who was only 14 months old, in a book?
I don't know what happened. Maybe somebody slipped that in and she didn't see it. I don't know.
Yes. Which is more likely? That she actually did it, or that someone slipped a long and detailed story about how she killed a puppy and then a goat in her book, but she never saw it and then tricked her into going to Twitter to repeatedly defend it. But who could possibly be so devious? Could it be ghosts? Probably. She's killed a lot of things. Now, this confession of being a petting zoo serial killer got Noam a bit of backlash, including from a member of her own party, Utah Senator Mitt Romney, seen here enjoying the on-field antics of the Philly fanatic. Back when Romney was running for president, he had his own canine scandal when it was revealed he had strapped his dog's kennel to the roof of his car during a 12-hour road trip to Canada, despite the Irish setter suffering from diarrhea.
Wow.
Despite... Not because of the diarrhea? Why are you putting the dog on the roof? Could it have anything to do with the high-pressure dukage soaking the back seat? Not at all. Why do you ask? Next stop, Manitoba, kids. Putting your dog on the roof is not only cruel to the dog, but very cruel to the guy behind you in the convertible.
Wow. Wow.
But Romney is feeling vindicated that he's not the worst dog abuser in the party now, proclaiming, "I didn't eat my dog." Mitt? No one brought that up, buddy.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time once again for Randy's Rant.
And it's rant time, Randy. Oh, there it is.
Billy, yeah. Billy, it's the only exercise I get all week.
I know. Give me a break. I can tell.
These old moobs can really spin circles.
The old man boobs. Yeah, you get your man boobs out. Great, cool. There's a visual image
now,
for
young
our audience.
Billy, thank you for that wonderful lead-in.
Yeah.
To what I want to talk about, which is, and it should be coming up soon.
Dog love.
Who is Trump's running mate?
Who is Trump's running mate? Jesus.
Yeah, who is going to be? Now, we've got lots. We've got the TV, Mr. TV Dinner.
What is it? Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson's a possibility.
Yeah.
But I think he's actually going for a skirt.
Going for a lady.
Yeah. Now, lady. What the thing is this weekend.
Yeah.
Former President Donald Trump will leave the courtroom in New York, jump on his old rusty 757.
Yep.
That he couldn't even sell to a Mexican airline.
That's right.
And he's going to fly down to Mar-a-Lago.
Mar-a-Lago, where the flying fishes play.
To meet with wealthy Republican donors and potential running mates at the same time. Now,
He's
got, the former president returns to Florida, where he will headline the Republican National Committee's Spring Donor Retreat. It's called, like, bring your checkbooks.
Do they make ashtrays?
Bring your best.
Are there swimming lessons?
Your best ass-kissing game.
Yeah. Hello, Mata. Hello, Fada.
This annual weekend.
Camp Granada.
Mar-a-Lago. Now, the weekend traditionally brings together major donors and GOP heavyweights. Yeah. And some of them are pretty heavy. But this year, the list includes special guests.
Ooh.
Which are expected to in Florida. It's going to be the roster of Trump's shortlisted potential vice presidential picks. Lots of P's there. I should get a pop screen for my mic.
Yeah, your pop screen.
These include one who doesn't travel, has had to travel very far, Republican Senator Marco Rubio.
Rubio!
J.D. Vance of Ohio.
Oh, that little scum-sucking jerk.
Yeah, Tim Scott of South Carolina.
Let's go back J.D. Vance and Tim Scott. Those two are the biggest ass-kissers I've ever fucking
seen. Yeah, I've got some more information on them. You reckon they're going to have their best ass-kissing game going?
Oh, I see Tim Scott's a black guy, right? So the idea of a black guy voting for Trump, who's a racist, always appealed to me in the world of irony. But the fact that Tim Scott literally is like step and fetch it when he's around. Yes, Mr. Trump, you are the finest man I ever did see.
Yeah, Mr. Bojangles. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, the next in the list is, as you heard, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum.
Yeah.
Not Burger Yum, Burger Yum.
Burger Yum.
Another reported shortlister. Then his arch rival, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, which we know is the dog and goat shooter. Yeah.
She's off the list, man. That's it.
Oh, you reckon? Well, let's wait and see.
America loves dogs, man. You know, really. Seriously.
All right. Then we've also got New York Republican Representative Elise Stefanik.
Yeah.
Who is one of Trump's fiercest defenders in Congress.
Yeah.
Now, I would not put it past him to pick MTB.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
MTG,
Too crazy. Too crazy. Nah.
Is anybody too crazy?
He will appoint somebody who will not draw any attention away from him because he's a psycho, and he doesn't.
But he likes he likes distraction. If he says, "Oh, I've got something coming up, Marge, could you just distract everybody for a minute?"
Look at the last vice president he appointed. That's Mike Pence. He's the humanoid, version of mayonnaise. I mean, come on, man.
Okay, let's look at some other people. First, Greg Abbott.
Oh, what a sleazebag. What a scumbag.
Yeah, the Texas governor is one of his potential picks. He's always said this.
Excretion.
He mentioned it a few times.
Scumbag.
Because he handles Mexican immigration, Mexico border continued. He's going to have shooting contests along the border.
Oh, no. If he could load immigrants into a skeet shooting range, Greg Abbott would do it. He really would.
Yeah, yeah.
Good to be king.
Ho! Ay, caramba! Ay, 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 ay! Boom!
That's all right. I don't think the stereotypical Warner Brothers Mexican mouse would be among the people shot, but since you decided.
Speeding Gonzalez!
We don't believe in ethnic stereotypes here on the Bill Show. None at all.
Not a bit.
Bill Show cares.
We're just fat Yanks.
Yeah.
Now, Ron DeSantis is on the list of potentials.
Yes.
Even though they were arch rivals.
That is going to require a shitload of ass kissing. Ronnie's going to have to do some tonguing. He's really going to have to.
Oh, he's going to have to put the tongue in, you reckon?
Oh, yeah. He's going to have to eat shit. No.
Tongue or second knuckle, yeah. Now, there have been quite often number twos have become vice presidential candidates. Even, Joe Biden was originally against Obama. So it's not unheard of.
Yeah.
Even though they were competing.
Yeah.
But Ron DeSantis did say some pretty nasty things. However, they have had private meetings.
Uh-huh.
So recently, since DeSantis dropped out, so maybe it's there. Kristi Noem, two-term South Dakota governor, has emerged as a potential conservative female voice, earning praise from Trump for her support. However, her recent account of shooting a hunting dog named Cricket, who was deemed untrainable, has drawn widespread condemnation on both sides of the political aisle and from the ASPCA.
Yeah.
Here's a good one. I didn't believe this one. What? Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Current as Arkansas's governor, already has firsthand experience working with Trump, has served as a White House press secretary from 2017 to 2019. She officially endorsed him at a rally in 2023,
and
calling him my former boss, my friend, and everybody's favorite
president.
And
has been mired in a corruption scandal that has meant that she's not necessarily going to be an easy knockover to get reelected. because evidently with Roofglass and Bluegill, you know, we're talking about the time that Sarah Huckabee Sanders took her girlfriends off to Paris on the public dime.
Hey! Oh yeah, yeah. That's yeah. Hey, look, if you can't take your friends on the presidential jet, who can?
Beverly Hillbillies go to Paris.
Now, Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina. Yeah. Scott's been an outspoken supporter of Trump, offering him an endorsement over fellow South Carolinian Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley's no chance.
No. He offered an endorsement for Trump over Nikki Haley.
So, yeah.
Elise Stefanik, the U.S. Representative.
Yeah, you mentioned her. Yeah.
Yeah, upstate New York. She's a staunch Trump ally, particularly during his New Hampshire primary campaign. At rallies in Concord, she fielded numerous questions about a potential bid for vice president, and she said she would be honored to bend herself over the... No, she didn't say that. To serve in the Trump administration in any capacity. Sorry, Willie.
I am sure. Well, you know, that's just about right, Vandy. Usually I'd kind of sit there and go, ew, Randy. And I thought about it a minute, and I thought, no, that's just about right. Yeah. That
okay,
really is.
Now the last one on the list is J.D. Vance.
Oh, what a scum. I thought he was a scum-sucking numbskull he wrote a book called, I don't know.
Hillbilly Elegy.
Yeah. You know, and I saw that, and I could tell that he was, you know.
The U.S. Senator from Ohio, again, a state that Trump has to win.
And he used to be against Trump, and you know.
Yeah, he was a Trump critic. Yeah. Now he's an outspoken convert.
Yeah, well, that's because.
A fair weather friend, yeah.
No, he just figured out how much money he was going to make off the rubes. That's exactly, yeah. He became a grifter.
Here's his quote. Take it from someone who was anti-Trump early on and then saw the belly of the beast. The Republican Party without Donald Trump is a disaster morally and politically.
Morally.
God. He posted on X.
Yeah. Formerly. Well, he's got a summer house then, you know, because these guys, every last one of the people that you just mentioned are scum. They are scum. Not because they believe in Trump, but because they know better. They do. They're intelligent enough to know that Donald Trump is not only a felon, but he's unqualified to be president of the United States. And each of these people don't give a shit, and they're willing to
they're
just for power and money. That's all it is. Power and money. That's it.
Isn't that the Republican Party motto?
I understand that's on their crest, along with a dead dog.
Yeah, power and money, power and money. But apparently, Mr. Turtle's had a bit of a falling out.
Oh, well, no, he's...
Our Donald as well.
Yeah, but he's leaving politics. He's done.
You reckon?
Oh, no, he rigged the Supreme Court. My job is done. I got to go back to Turtle Land. You know, that he's basically...
What about Lady Lindsay?
Lady Lindsay? No, Lindsay opens his mouth every 2 seconds and says something he really thinks. And then he has to apologize all over again. I mean, Lindsay has voyaged up Donald's asshole. Lindsay has voyaged up Donald Trump's asshole more often than the cast of Fantastic Voyage. I'm telling you.
Oh no! Well, like he's
not going to have a colon. He's not going to have a colonoscopy ever because he's had Lindsey Graham
up his ass. Oh, like he said, Donald Trump's balls aren't going to lick themselves.
That's correct. What else you got, Randy?
Willie, that's it. I've shot my best shot.
Okay. Well, that was fun.
My little jokes about the worst things that happened in America this week.
Yeah, that's right. Well, listen, man. Well, we're gonna sign up for the night. We hope you enjoyed our Lindsey Graham colonoscopy. It's our Lindsey Graham colonoscopy show.
But will Raquel Welch be in it?
I don't know. Could be. You don't know. So, ladies and gentlemen,
remember that scene where she got all the crystallized amoebas stuck all over her?
Yeah.
And Donald Pleasance and everybody had to rip them off her body.
Fantastic Voyage.
Oh, for a little 14-year-old, when I was watching that movie, I think stirred my loins.
Stirred your loins. God, you're a passionate man, Randy. You really are. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank Randy for joining me again. Thank you, Randy. We enjoyed your...
Look, you should see the look on his face, people.
No, not really.
We're looking at each other on Zoom.
I'm so lonely. I live alone. He's the only contact I have.
Yeah, I'm just in my man cave, yeah.
Everybody has abandoned us.
Yeah, I'll put ladies, on my... MAGA hat.
Take that off. Take it off. He's got to make America great. You had your friend send that to you from?
I got a friend went to Trump Tower a few years ago. When Trump, I think, was still president.
Oh,
and
God.
Bought this at the souvenir stand in Trump Tower in New York.
There you go. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, this is an authentic MAGA hat.
Yeah. So,
you don't like me to wear it on camera.
Well, no, I guess you might have to wear it. If you go back home, you might have to wear it. You know,
just to get in,
blend in. Anyway, we'll see you next time, folks. It's been great to talk to you. This has been the Bill Show. We'll see you next time. So long for now. Bye bye.
Happy trails.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet you bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Just thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. I'm stuck with a day that's gray and lonely. I just stick out my chin and grin. Say, oh, the sun will come out tomorrow, so you gotta hang on till tomorrow. Come what may, tomorrow, I love you too. Will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Just thinking about. You're always a day.